Hello all, this is Nina, welcoming you to the 50th episode of the Audible Weed Walk. This is special. I thought I'd let the audience suggest what would they like to hear in this particular podcast. So, Ruben of Tube Thumbi fame had gathered up the questions regarding edible weeds as he creates the posts posts the podcast every week for a relay broadcast via the Edible Weed Walk YouTube channel. So he presented to me a sort of spray diagram of questions regarding wild, weedy, uncultivated greens that he could gather. Very interesting. I should do podcasts on them sometime. But for this episode, I thought, why not have some fun? Then I thought it would be great if you could come for a weed walk with me, and then at the end we can make a snacks together. How does it sound? So let's go out and figure out what do we find. We are squarely in July, in the middle of the summer in Tamil Nadu, but it feels like more like in August when we get a good summer spray. Not complaining, the plants are really happy. And getting wonderful rain, still warm weather, and everything around is lush and have a bumper growth. I have a volunteer bottle gourd plant which had decided that it had ended its season and it all got dried up, etc. I didn't remove it, but with the rains I see that it has again put out its shoots and now it's flowering. It is weather like that, you know. I have a bowl with me and I plan to pick just 10 leaves from about 10 to 12 wild weedy edibles that I can find on my path, the first 10. And with that collection, I'll make a snack. So as I pick the green, I'll let you know what that particular green is good for. So you can come along. So the first one is Indian licorice, Abrus precatorius. You see now they are very young, they are putting out very young green leaves, like, you know, distinctly greener than the, you know, the previous darker leaves. And this is one plant that you can actually take the leaves and chew raw. And you will find that licorice aftertaste, you know, it's quite sweet aftertaste. But this can be cooked and made into tea also. I am picking about 10. And this plant is antibacterial, antifungal, and anti-migraine. Right next to it on the ground, I find plenty of Indian sarsaparilla, or nannadi plant. This is Hemidesmus indicus. But I'm not actually digging out the root for this. I'm just taking 10 leaves. Not too young, not too matured ones. These are anti-inflammatory, reduces irritation and fever. Gangetic primrose, Asestesia gangetica. This has been renamed in Oroville as the mushroom spinach. This plant grows profusely on its own path, on its own along, my paths and all over the place actually. But when they are flowering, it is very easy to recognize if you don't know the plant. Otherwise, you will need to know how the leaf looks like, how the texture is to find them, because they are perennial. They are still there. It's just not flowering. And, this is another exception where you can eat some of the leaves raw and it's quite tasty as is. And it's wonderful cooked also. So I take about 10 to 15 of these, and they are, let me think what they are good for. They are good for actually anti-inflammatory. They are anti-inflammatory, good for bronchial conditions. So have you noticed that the plants that are now I'm encountering and picking, these are the ones which, you step out and you're not selecting, you're just selecting the ones which you know are edible. They all have this kind of, properties that they are helping to fight cold, addresses, you know, bronchial health, etc. So this is what we need after the rains. So this is what the nature is providing us, exactly what we need. Oh gosh, we have only three now and we have to hurry up. We have to find others. So the next is Devil's Horsewhip. I really don't like this name, you know, the linking with devil, because it's a wonderful plant. Its name is Acranthus aspera. It's antiparasitic, antioxidant, protects liver. And again, the plant has primed already. So you see most of them, they are with, they are sprouting new leaves, but they have the long spikes with their seeds. And so you can find the plant easily, but for the new leaves, you have to look around a little. Then there is Cirripulae, Aevera lanata. This plant is so easy to identify when it is flowering because they have this cottony white flowers. But now at this stage, when it's not flowering, you will find them. But you will find them if you know them, because they are kind of inconspicuous now. The leaves are quite small, but the new cycle is already happening. You can see the new leaves are coming. So this plant is antioxidant, treats coughs, protects bladder and kidney. Oh, on one of my, the next one, right, you know, close by to this plant is one of my favorites. It's Comelina or Bengal Dayflower, scientific name Comelina bengalensis. This plant is awesome. It's a slightly mucilaginous, so you have to cut it up and then, you know, boil and cook it, because the while it is mucilaginous, it's a little rough to touch. It lowers blood pressure, treats sore throats and dysentery. But for this, you know, the snack we will make, we don't have to separately cut it up, because we are going to chop up all the greens. Next to that is Slender Joyweed, Alternanthera ficoide. This is the cousin of Punnangani, but it is found absolutely everywhere. And now that it has rained, the lush leaves have started coming. And this plant, among many other things, is antiviral. And it has all the benefits of Punnangani. It's good for skin, good for eyes, you name it. Look at what I have. It's a shiny bush, you know, Peperomia pellucida. Usually they grow along the pots, along, you know, the garden beds and in the pots. But I usually don't have much growing around me, because probably it's too much of a wooded habitat. But I had put up this tuber plant in a grow bag. And I have a little support for it around the grow bag. And along with that support, this has come up on its own, of course. So I'm going to take 10 nice juicy leaves. This is anti-inflammatory and analgesic at the same time. I'm amazed by the flowers of this next one. You'll find lots flowering at this time, actually. It is... Kodakasalai or Justicia procumbens. If you really minutely look, the flowers look like a set of miniature gladiola or something even beautiful. The English name is water willow. Next time you find, take a note of this. I will only take, the leaves are very tiny. Even then, I'll only take about 10. And that's enough. This particular plant, it treats parasitic worms, coughs, prevents fever, good to have with herbal tea sometime. My experiments show that they do great if you try to grow them in pots. While growing in pots, they flower profusely, so I cannot use them because I love the flower so much. The next I find is very close to this slender joyweed, and Potulaca also growing, is Punarnabha or Bohravia diffusa. This has so many benefits, that it will take an entire podcast to cover that. I think I had done already one podcast on this only. It is good for guts, skin, lungs, eyes, kidney, you name it, too good. Okay, so now I have one bowl full of greens. I snapped a few purslane also along the way just because they were on my way. I will add them too. Potulaca or purslane have a high content of vitamin A. They are antioxidant, good for lungs and also the mucous membrane. So now we are really done. We will wash them well, then chop, then wash again and put them on a strainer and set aside. We'll now put together rest of the ingredients to make a snack. This is a fried snack. If you are now telling, oh no, fried is bad, it is bad. It's really bad when you have too much of it and too often. So I will give you the recipe for the fried snack, and at the end I'll give you another option if you really don't feel like frying. So you have greens already, about 1 cup chopped and cleaned, and you will now need other stuff. 2 cups, about 400 grams of diced tomato, about 4 medium. Half a red onion, cut into thin, chopped really. Half cup each, which is about 65 grams of plain rice flour and millet flour. You can use any flour actually. So you can put actually one cup of wheat flour also, no problem. 1 teaspoon of baking powder. Half a cup of vegan Parmesan cheese. Now, I have made it at home. Very easy to make. You can probably look up internet. If you really want, I can give you the recipe some other time. Then salt and freshly ground pepper. Enough vegetable oil for frying. Optional dip. You need chickpea yogurt or normal yogurt. But with the chickpea yogurt, it really comes well. If you are following me in Insta and in my Facebook, you know what I'm talking about when I tell chickpea yogurt. So garlic, 2 cloves grated, lemon juice 1 to 2 depending on the size. And then you will have sesame oil, 1 teaspoon, salt and pepper, and mix this from chickpea yogurt to sesame oil. Mix everything together, re-blend well, add salt and pepper to taste, and this is your dip. So now you want to make the fritters or the snack for which you have made the dip. Step 1, cut the tomatoes into 4 pieces and then take a spoon and remove the flesh. And keep the flesh, don't throw it away. You can use it in anything, any food. But for this recipe, you only need the outer part. And dice the tomato into small cubes. Step 2, into a bowl, combine the diced tomato, the finely chopped onion, add the greens that you have already cleaned and kept aside, and break it up using your hand and mix well using fork. You can at this point add the vegan cheese in this bowl. In a separate bowl, mix the flour, baking powder, salt and pepper. Combine the flour mixture and the tomato mixture until all the ingredients combine well. And the mixture becomes firm enough to make a ball and it's not too runny. Add a little more flour if you think it's too runny. And at this stage, put it in the refrigerator for about 30 minutes. So then after that, imagine that 30 minutes is over. After that, using your hand, form them into a ball and then lightly flatten them, set them aside on a floured tray. In a deep pan or a small kadai, add your vegetable oil and heat. Fry the fritters about 3 to 4 minutes until they are nicely colored. Place them on a sieve or a drained paper to absorb the extra oil. And note, for extra crispy fritters, you leave it for cooling for some time and then fry it again for 1 minute. So it's double frying. if you want it to be extra crisp. Then fried food, if you think fried food is absolutely not going to agree with you and you don't want it, you can make it like a korkatai, or in it's called noche nonde in Karnataka. So what you do is basically you form little sausage shaped not balls, they are sausage shaped portions, and then you put them in a steamer and you steam. If you want, you can put nice fragrant lemon leaves or something in the bottom of the steamer, so that the fritters also will get a bit of that smell. It's very nice. So you steam the maximum for about 12 minutes, and once done, you can lightly fry the surface or not. It's your choice, and you can enjoy with the same dip that you have already made. Well, that's a lot for today, and hope you enjoyed the walk and you enjoy the snack. See you next week. Stay well and stay safe.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the City of Dome.